Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Countdown to the Breeders' Cup World Championships conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It's now my pleasure to introduce you to your host, Mr. Jim Mulvey. Please go ahead, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mindy. Welcome, everybody, to our Travers Day preview. Our first guest today has a limited window of time to chat, so we're going to get right to him and then right to your questions, of course. So I'll just ask that everybody please do your best to keep the questions concise so we can get to as many of you as possible. Doug O'Neill is our first guest. He's the trainer of IRAP, who broke his maiden by winning the Bluegrass before finishing 18th in the Kentucky Derby. Since then, he's come back with two wins in big money Midwestern derbies, the Ohio Derby, where he was nosed out, the next out Haskell winner Gervin, and the Indiana Derby, where he was much the best, winning by five lengths. Doug O'Neill, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Always appreciate your time. Before we talk about IRAP specifically, I'd love to just get your take on this Travers field overall, as deep as it is.
Wow, yeah, it is just jaw-dropping, the amount of talent in this race, and it really is the mid-year derby, if you will. We're so excited, so grateful to be part of it, and I think any one of them could win, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Right. Well, tell us how IRAP is doing. I mean, he's got two straight wins now, so maybe you can just describe how he is now relative to earlier this year when it took him a while to break through.
He's doing really, really well. You know, he's always been a big, strong colt, and always physically more mature than his peers, if you will. But it really took him a while to mentally kind of figure it all out, and I think the Ohio Derby really sent him forward, and then we saw it again in the Indiana Derby, and he continues to train like a mature horse mentally, and we're optimistic that we're facing a lot of these horses that were part of the Derby where we got annihilated, but I think the traffic, the 20-horse field, he just wasn't mentally ready for that. Hopefully, come Saturday, we're going to be ready for the biggest challenge of his life since the Kentucky Derby, which will be the Travers.
Excellent. Well, I want to give everybody a chance to ask you some questions, so I'm going to check with Mindy, and she can see what the folks want and have fun for you.
Great.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star 1 for any questions, star 1. We'll go to our first with Ron Slatter with VSIN Vegas Stats and Information Network.
Hi, Doug. How do you see the pace scenario working out in this race?
Hello, Ron. I'm eager to see the draw and everything, but I would think there'd be a pretty realistic, solid pace. And I just know, watching our guy the last few days, he can definitely sit off a hot pace, but he can come inside, outside, in between, which months ago I couldn't say that about him. But without looking at the actual PPs of the race just yet, Ron, I don't have a great idea of how hot and heated the pace will or will not be.
And you mentioned, you just touched on something I was going to follow up about, because it seems like your horse might want a slower pace to chase, but you're saying, do you think based on the last two races, he's shown you something that you don't necessarily, that he can go ahead and go after the fast pace?
I do, Ron. You know, early on in his career, you had to kind of keep him in the clear. You had to kind of get after him, leave him there, have an outside position and before the place, or else he didn't seem as willing. And I really think the the trip in the Ohio Derby where the pace, you know, they weren't going that quick, 48 to the half, 112 to 3 to the three quarters, and he was behind that pace, and Julien Lepreux was on him that day, and he was able to navigate a pretty nifty course to get into the winner's circle, and it really just showed how everything kind of is starting to click now for IRAP mentally. So I think if it's slow pace, we'll be closer than we have maybe been. But if it's a realistic pace, I have no problem seeing him 4 or 5 off it early.
Very good. Good luck to you. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Debbie Arrington with Sacramento Bee.
Good morning, Doug. Thank you very much for coming on here, too. IRAP has been through a lot this year. How has he handled it mentally, and have you seen him mature? And is what kind of personality is he around the barn?
You know, he's a good feeling colt, but very manageable, and high energy, but not in a mean or violent way by any means. But he's just a, like you said, you know, he's been all over the place, from New Mexico to Kentucky, got Ohio, Indiana, he's been all over the country. But to look at him, he weight wise just looks perfect. His coat looks like he's, you know, wearing a wetsuit. You know, he's just he looks tremendous. So definitely seems like he's coming around at a great time, and he's going to need to be at his, you know, absolute best to win on Saturday, and we're hoping he is.
And he must be a good traveler to he's got a lot of frequent travel miles right here.
He has. He has been on more planes than Trump, I think, in the last few months. he definitely has no problem traveling, which is such a huge asset for a top horse, and it's a great thing.
And this 3-year-old championship is still really up in the air going into the Midsummer Derby. How would you handicap it right now?
I know. You know, it is just an absolute, you can go so many different directions. I really think that this Saturday is going to make the picture a lot more clear. Obviously, if any of the Triple Crown race winners were to win, they'd probably lead the way. But if we were so lucky to win on Saturday, I think we'd be definitely in the mix. So this race has got so much. It's so exciting anyways, but it's got a lot riding on it as well as far as end of year awards go. So we're pumped, and hopefully I know the humans won't be IRS ready.
Very good. Well, best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
And as a reminder, that's star one for any questions. Star one for any questions. Again, that's star one. Star one for any questions. And we do have one question with David Greening with Daily Racing Form.
Hey, Doug. You talked about the pace earlier that, you know, he's a horse that could, you know, his last two has come from off of it. In the Bluegrass, he was on it, and I was just wondering, when you look at him then versus him now, how different is he in terms of wanting to be in the front? Because there isn't a lot. I don't think there is a lot of pace in this race. It looks like Always Dreaming, without Play not in there, it looks like Always Dreaming might be the main thing.
Yeah, hey, David. The Bluegrass one. Seven-horse fields, and with Julien, he had been working him a little bit, and, you know, he was still kind of had some growing pains mentally, and there's this thought that keep him, you know, it looked like the race was didn't have a lot of pace either, so keep him up out of trouble. And so it was just a different mentality, I think, from all of us surrounding IRAP going into Bluegrass, and it worked out perfectly. But as we've gone, you know, a few months down the road and seen him mature mentally, I think we're all much more confident that if there is a heated pace, that we could be a little bit more strategic. But I like what you're saying. Hopefully that's the case. There's not a lot of pace. You know, be forwardly placed, stay out of trouble, and I know it's going to be a big field. So that's always a concern, traffic troubles. And without a hot pace, we'll hopefully stay out of any kind of slow pockets of trouble.
Also, I was wondering, did that they ship today? He's on en route today, or have they arrived yet?
I haven't heard, so I'm assuming they haven't yet. But within the next couple hours, they should be landing on their way to Saratoga.
Sounds good. And did you send? You were going to send Frank Conversation and Ann Arbor Eddy and the New York Red. Do they all come as well?
Yep, they are all on the same plane, and yeah, because we're loyal on Friday, and as you said, Ann Arbor Eddy and Frank Conversation and IRAP for Saturday, so we're looking forward to a lot of competition, hopefully a couple winners in that group somewhere.
Sounds good, thank you.
But thanks, David.
As a reminder, that's star one for any questions, star one for any questions. It appears there's no further questions at this time, Mr. Mulvihill. I'll turn it back to you.
All right, Doug, we got a few more minutes, so I'll ask a couple more of you if you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
Wanted to hear about the work on Saturday. IRAP worked in company with Shane's girlfriend, who's the Delta Princess winner. When we see in the PPs a 6-furlong time, it doesn't necessarily tell us much about the work, so maybe you can tell us about that breeze and how he finished up that morning.
Yeah, he's really training well, and as it's been well documented, Del Mar's been in really good shape this summer, and it's actually had a pretty good cushion on it, and it's been a tad demanding, if you will. So to see IRAP put in that nice 6-furlong throw with a really good gallop out, I think we got him going a mile in like 142. You know, just really kind of validated our, you know, optimism going into Saturday's race. So he's doing really, really well, and hopefully what we've been seeing here on a daily basis, you know, we see it Saturday afternoon.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. And then real quick, I just wanted to follow up on the other ones that are in on Saturday that Dave mentioned. Frank Conversation had a pretty tough trip last time, so I think he's kind of an interesting one in the Sword Dancer based on that trip.
I agree, and Frank Conversation, that was a lot of human error going on there. He left the paddock with a tongue tie and then came back after the race without one. So somewhere between leaving the paddock and the time the race ended, his tongue tie came off, and it's a pretty big piece of equipment for Frank. So we're going to put a line through that race, and you know, if we can get back to the previous couple he ran the Dynamite race in the Whittingham stakes there at Santa Anita. We think he's got a chance. So he'll be an outsider. People might think that last race is an indication that we can't hang with those horses, but we're going to take another stab at it and see what we can do.
Interesting. And then just some thoughts on Ann Arbor Eddy and the Alan Jerkin.
You know, Ann Arbor Eddy, he's the homebred of Paul and Zilla Radams, and he's just super solid. You know, he's very consistent. He's won half of the start. He started 8 times, 4 wins. We think 7-8 will suit him just fine. And there was a split second there. We thought he was kind of a Kentucky Derby kind of horse after running second in the El Camino Real Derby as an early 3-year-old. But a couple little injuries set us back a little bit. And he's come back really well. A couple of 92 buyers his last few races. you know, we think he's got a legitimate shot. He's also training very, very well.
Excellent. Well, Doug, we said we'd get you out in 15 minutes, so our time is up. Thanks for coming on, and best of luck on Saturday with all your starters in Saratoga.
Thanks for having me. Take care. Thank you. Okay.
All right, Doug O'Neill. He'll be seeking his first Travers win with IRAP, but you'll recall that his owner, Paul Redham, does have a Travers win with 10 Most Wanted, who was trained by Wally DeLossi. Now we're going to go on to our second guest, and we're delighted to welcome in Vinny Vitola, who's the co-owner of the Kentucky Derby winner, Always Dreaming. A lot of you got to know Vinny's stories this spring. He's a Brooklyn native, a West Point grad, and he built his fortune as a trader on Wall Street. He's the owner of the Florida Panthers and a partner in horses with his childhood friend, Anthony Bonomo. Both Vinny and Anthony both went to the New York tracks with their fathers in the 60s. And now let's see if Vinny Vitola is on the line. Vinny, you there?
We are connecting him at this time.
All right, we are connecting to Vinny. And let's see if Vinny Vitola is going to join us. He knows we're calling him. I think maybe we finished with Doug a little bit earlier than we might have expected.
Please stand by. We are trying to reach Vincent. Please stand by.
All right. In the meantime, I'll take another try at pronouncing Anthony's last name. It's not that I don't know how to pronounce it. It's just hard to get out. Bonomo. Anthony Bonomo. There we go. Pretty sure that's it.
Please stand by as we are still trying to connect.
Anybody want to buzz in with some hot Travers opinions? Mindy will let you talk if you want to just make your pick public.
It is star one for any questions, star one.
I saw Travis Stone on Twitter a little while ago talking about the morning line for the Travers. And it actually looks like IRAP, who we were just talking about, when you look down the list of probables, could be maybe the seventh choice in this race, which is crazy to think. But that is how deep this Travers field is. Three Triple Crown race winners, West Coast, the Haskell winner. Quite the field.
Please stand by as we're still trying to connect Vincent.
I am standing by. Talk about. Y'all see those NCRA rankings this week? Y'all are responsible for them. You, the media, vote on them. The top thoroughbred poll. And you all chose to put Gunrunner on top for the first time this year over Arrowgate. Bit of a controversial call. If you're on the Twitter, you perhaps saw some of the outrage. But anytime you can mention our thoroughbred polls, both the top thoroughbred poll for all horses and the 3-year-old polls. We appreciate it. I don't know about names. I don't know if this is going to happen, people. Appreciate your patience, though.
Please stand by as we're trying to connect.
I'm just sitting here looking at my Twitter. Here, just so you know that you're not disconnected, I'll just read you things that are on my Twitter feed right now until we get Vinny Viola. Let's see here. We've got Larry Colmus tweeting photo of Julian Leperoux on the side of a bus. Got a, let's see, an interesting story by Teresa about the new equine safety measures taken at the NYRA tracks, or all the New York tracks, including Finger Lakes. Phil Bongiovanni with a video of Champagne Room going to the track this morning for his first 5/8 on the comeback trail. Some nice photos by Skip of McCracken's last work before the Traverse. Bunch of Eclipse stuff. You don't want to hear about that. We all heard enough about the Eclipse yesterday. Is anyone still on the line? I know Vinny is not, but I mean, of the media.
Yes, please stand by as we are trying to connect. Please stand by.
Times story about a family that's divided over what to do about public statues of a Confederate general. I don't think we want to get into that conversation on here.
Pardon the interruption. Please stand by as we are going to connect Jerry in about 5 minutes.
We're going straight to Jerry Hollendorfer in 5 minutes. You'll have to listen to me read my Twitter for 5 more minutes. Oh, my God. Let's see. You can watch a live stream of the Traverse Post Draw tonight from the Saratoga Special on Facebook. Don't miss that. I believe the actual draw starts at 6. Get your tickets for the Breeders' Cup. Laura Bell Bundy is going to be there.
Okay. Please stand by. The conference will resume momentarily.
Oh, thank God.
Thank you.
by as the conference will resume momentarily. Please do not disconnect. Thank you for your patience. By. The conference will resume momentarily. Please do not disconnect. Thank you for your patience. The conference will resume momentarily. Please do not disconnect. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
stand by. The conference will resume momentarily. Please do not disconnect. Thank you for your patience.
Hollendorfer, are you with us?
I am.
All right, Jerry. We really appreciate your time. I know you're busy traveling, and so we always are glad to have you on. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us. Of course, we're going to talk primarily about Songbird. Maybe the first place to start is just with how she's doing right now and how you like her coming into Saturday.
We've got her prepared well, we think, and she had a nice work day before yesterday, a half a mile in 47 and 2, and nice, strong gallop out, so we feel like we have her prepared to run.
Well, it seems like the expectations for her are always so high, and even though she's won both her starts this year, just winning by one length doesn't seem to satisfy some people. So can you just give your opinion on Songbird? Is she as good as she was as a 3-year-old?
Well, I don't know. According to what we're looking at and according to what her rider says, we think that she's better. And she had a nice win first out, and then we came back and ran a mile and a quarter. And so she didn't win by open lengths. She won by a length. So I was very satisfied with the race, and as was Mike Smith. And so we've been working with her, preparing to come back to Saratoga, and we think that she's doing better than she was going into the mile and a quarter race, feeling better and acting better. I think she's done everything we've asked her to do, and she seems to come through every time, so I'm very pleased with her.
Great to hear, and she certainly loves Saratoga. Let's see what the media on the line has for you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, that's *1 for any questions, and we'll go to the first question with Debbie Arrington with Sacramento Bee.
Good morning, Jerry, and thank you very much for coming on today. Songbird has just been an amazing filly over going on 3 years now that you've had her in your barn. How has she matured during that time, and is she a different filly now than when you first got her, and how has she grown up?
Well, around the barn she acts the same, but she's bigger and stronger, and she's more willing to be rated in the mornings or go faster, whatever the rider wants. So she has matured, as you say, and that's where we are with her. We're the same around the barn and in the stall, though.
And it's always hard to compare horses, but does she rank pretty close to the best that you've ever had?
Well, I don't like to compare horses, but she's right up there with everybody, I would say, on anybody's scale. So very pleased and grateful to have her, and she's highly thought of by every member of my barn.
Mm-hmm. And there was some talk about maybe her going in the Pacific Classic. Have you thought about running against the boys, and is there any plans on that down the road this season?
No plans as of yet, and we were nominated to the Pacific Classic, but I don't think we were ever going to run there.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the track at Del Mar this season, since this is where we're going to be back for the Reader's Cup?
Well, you know, some folks like it, you know, and we don't complain about what we're dealt, and you know, for the most part, the track has been safe for all the horses, and not as many catastrophic injuries as last year. So I would say that overall, the Del Mar track is a success at this point.
Very good. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
As a reminder, that's star one for any questions. Star one. We'll go next to Ron Futter with Vegas Stats and Information Network.
Jerry, just looking back at the two races she ran last year at Saratoga, she was just so dominant. What is it about Saratoga that she likes, or is it just like any other track for her?
Well, I don't know. You know, she's won at a lot of different tracks, and so to say that she likes Saratoga is probably true. And, you know, she does, runs well no matter where we take her. So, you know, whether it be New York or Delaware and back in California. So that's just her. She does her job.
What was the mindset when you decided on her program for this summer by going to New York and then to Delaware, back to Saratoga, the thought about just shipping her so much?
Well, you know, a lot of what goes into where you run a horse is the rate at which they're getting ready. And I made the statement before that I would have an extra week to get ready if we ran in New York. And as it turned out, we did have an extra week, and we did get her more ready to run. And so that's why we ran the first race in New York. You know, Rick likes to have input into these races, and we like to talk back and forth. And so far, I think our plan for this year is coming up pretty good. We'll know more about that on Saturday if we can win. But we would look at this race this weekend and then decide what to do next, which would either be probably running in the Zenyatta at Santa Anita, or train to the race, to the Breeders' Cup, if we can get to both races, then we might do that. So nothing totally in concrete, but we discussed a few things and a few ways to go.
How much are you watching Stellar Wind?
You know, if I'm out there when John's breezing her, which I have been a couple of times, then, you know, I like to watch her breeze. And, you know, I get a kick out of watching a lot of the good horses, just like many of the other horsemen do. You know, we like to see Baffert's horses work, and Sadler and Mandela, anybody else that has a good horse. We don't mind watching them work if we're up there on the stand when they're working.
And do you have any thoughts about how Stellar Wind has gone this year with her wins and
Stellar Wind hasn't made a mistake yet, so you know, I'd say she's doing pretty good.
Okay. Very good, Jerry. Good luck to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We'll go next to David Greening with Daily Racing Form.
Hi, Jerry. I just wonder, what was the biggest challenge, if there was one, to get her ready for this year, coming off such a, you know, a hard and busy campaign of last year?
You know, I don't really know how to answer that. You know, I think there's always anxious moments when you're bringing a horse back off a layoff, and so you want everything to go perfectly, and of course it doesn't. So, you know, I think all the trainers have to deal with that kind of thing. So that's the biggest challenge, is being patient and not making a horse do too much too soon. And you always try to get the mix right and not make a mistake.
Do you feel that you're back to where you would like to have her at late August of her four-year-old year? Do you see a...
I think that I like the way that she is right now, yes.
Just looking at the prospective runners here, I don't see a ton of speed in the race, and she has a lot of speed. You just expect her to do what she does, and if she's on the lead...
Well, you know, David, you know how I am. I won't comment on that until the race is drawn and I see it and everything. And I like to talk to Mike a little bit about those things. And we enjoy trying to make a little strategy, but we also know that things can change in the race, and so we want to be prepared for anything. So how it's going to unfold at this time, I don't know, but... we'll find out soon enough when they draw the race.
Fair enough. Thank you.
And we'll go next to Art Wilson, the Los Angeles Newspaper Group.
Hey, Jerry. Can you, first of all, will Mr. Porter be there Saturday?
I would expect that Mr. Porter would be there, and I'm pretty enthusiastic about that.
Right. And can you just briefly touch on what this horse means to Mr. Porter with his battle for cancer and what kind of a great tonic or medicine it's been for him?
Well, you know, I don't discuss things like that with him in personal terms. So when you're talking to him, you could ask him that question. I'm sure he would respond favorably to that question. I think Songbird helps any of us that are involved with her. They help us get along all the time. You know, she keeps my spirits up, and I'm sure that Rick Porter has had his spirits lifted by her wins, and especially that first one in New York when she was coming off the layoff. He seemed to really like that. So he would answer that question better than me.
Right. And she's won 13 of 14. 9 grade ones at 7 different tracks, and yet some people aren't happy with that, are not satisfied enough with that. Does it ever irritate you where the people keep hammering on either the fans or on social media that they want to see her face the boys? Does that bother you at all?
Maybe a little bit, but that's just the way things are. The other folks aren't happy with some of the things that Songbird's done, then that's their opinion. But I've stated that I don't feel like I have to defend her. You know, her record speaks for itself, and she always gives her very best, and so that's all we could ask in any horse that we're training.
Okay, great. Good luck Saturday, Jerry.
Thank you.
As a reminder, that's star 1 for any questions, star 1. We'll go next to John Pricey with HorseRacerInsider.com.
Good afternoon, Jerry. In relation to a question you answered about, in relation to a question that you answered before relative to the Del Mar surface, you said it was different, but you don't complain about, the conditions with which you're dealt. I was wondering if you've had any input from people back east about the change in the Saratoga surface and how the change in the Saratoga surface might affect Songbird this year.
No, I didn't mean that the Del Mar comment to be a negative comment at all, so I hope people
didn't take it that way.
No, okay, so I mean, look at... You know, we're dealing with athletes. You know, they're animal athletes, but they're still athletes. And so, on occasions, some of the athletes are going to get hurt. And no one intends that. And especially some of the horses that got hurt at Saratoga, trained by some of the finest horsemen living in the United States. So, you know, nobody was sending a horse out on the Saratoga track and thinking that it would be hurt. You know, sometimes the track man has to make an adjustment in what he's doing, and probably he's made that adjustment. But unfortunately, even though you think nothing's going to happen, sometimes it does, and that's one of the hard parts about what we do is having our athletes get injured.
Well, anyone who's been around the game long enough understands that, and I didn't mean to turn this into a track condition controversy. I just meant it in relation to Songbird's preference. I mean, is she kind of like a top of the ground? She likes to hear her feet rattle? Does she like a surface with some give in it, or would she prefer a surface with some give in it? Because if you've been following the races here, you know that it's kind of a double-edged sword in that if it's not wet enough, then it's not tight enough, but if it's a little wet, it gets very, cuppy and kind of greasy and such. And in terms of Songbird's stride and all of that, I was just wondering if you could tell us something about the kind of surface that she prefers to run over.
Well, I don't know how to answer that because, like what was stated before, she's won at seven different racetracks. So, you know, she gets along on almost any surface. So, if there are adjustments to be made, she seems to make them on any of the tracks that she's been on. So she likes the fast racetracks out in California, and yes, she got along okay on the Delaware track, which was a little deeper and cuppier, and then I would kind of rate Belmont and Saratoga as in between those, and she seems to handle those also. So I would say that Songbird is adjusting to the surface that she's on.
Well, very good, sir. Thank you very much, and have a safe trip on Saturday.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question with Debbie Arrington with Sacramento Bee.
Hi, Jerry. I wanted to ask you about this earlier. I forgot. But you're going to be honored tonight by the Gregson Foundation along with Art at Sherman down at Del Mar. And what does that mean to you to be honored alongside Art and also with this particular group?
Well, you know, I'm very humbled and grateful that I would be chosen along with Art to be honored in a special way. So I think it means a lot to both of us. And I've been really good friends with Art for many, many years. And, you know, we were neighbors and our families know each other. So it's kind of extra special for me to be there with Art.
Very good. And you guys, so about how long have you guys known each other?
I don't know. It's too many years to remember back how long it is, but it's plenty of them. I'll tell you that. 30-something anyway.
Yeah, it's very good. Great. Well, have fun tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes today's question and answer session. Mr. Mulvejo, I'll turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, Jerry, I'll just ask you one last question before we let you go, and I'm curious just to get your take on the challenges that racing offices have trying to find horses to face Songbird. As a trainer of so many other horses, wouldn't you want to take a shot in a grade one just to try and get your filly to be grade one placed? Is that not the way trainers think anymore?
I think we're grade one winner with Songbird in a lot of different races. So, the personal instant fits into our plan for this year, and that's why we're running there, and hope to eventually end up in the Breeders' Cup if we can get there. But this is the race that we're on our radar now. We're going to do our very best to win.
I was talking more about those the rest trying to fill out the rest of the field though. Why don't you think more trainers don't put their horses in a race against you?
Well, I have enough trouble figuring out what I'm going to do, and then I have great respect for what others do and the decisions that they make. So for my colleagues, I wouldn't be too critical of their decisions whether to run or not, and they know what's best for their horses, and they're going to look out for their horse and their owners and do the best job that they can. So if they think that they should run against Songbird, they will, and if they don't, then they won't. So great respect for my colleagues to make the right decisions.
That makes total sense. Well, Jerry, we really appreciate your time as always. So much wonderful insight, and congratulations again on the honor tonight, and best of luck on Saturday.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer. Thanks so much to Jerry for joining us, and Doug O'Neill as well, of course. Sorry we didn't connect with Vinny Viola. Hopefully we can get him back on later in the year if Always Dreaming continues to be among the top three-year-olds. As always, this call will be on NCRA.com, a transcript of it later today, and an audio file as well. And just keep an eye out in your email for future Countdown to the Breeders' Cup teleconferences. And that'll do it for today. Thanks, everyone, for your patience, and thanks for joining us. Now back to Mindy.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.